Hi, I'm Rebecca Crawford and I work for the Glasgow Science Festival. Thanks for listening to this programme, which has the theme Schools, Industry and Research Links. It's part of a series of three programmes with EduTalk, and we're trying to record mini talks on as big a range of different STEM projects as we can. Just lots of quickfire vox pops. The next programme is on maths and engineering on November the 7th, and the final one is on the food and drinks industry on December the 12th. I'll briefly tell you a bit about the science engagement organisation that I work with. We've been running for 18 years now, and we manage a portfolio of projects under two strands, Science Connects and the Glasgow Science Festival, both teams working to strengthen relationships between schools and industry. Projects range from managing the STEM Ambassadors programme, that's access for free, please check volunteers for school STEM projects, to schools' careers days, to starting up and running science festivals. In the past, we were very involved in the startup of the Glasgow Science Centre. More recently, for example, we've been running a Glasgow Science Festival STEM Clubs network for schools. For our 47 STEM clubs, we are collecting as many audio talks as possible on the range of STEM enhancement projects our schools can take up with industry and with ambassador support. So we will play you half a dozen of these tonight, more in the second and third programme. We plan to link to dozens of these STEM industry audio case studies on our website. I think we need to sing the praises of Scottish research and industry much louder. There are so many inspiring stories that young people need to know about, from what it's like to work at CERN, the biggest experiment on the planet, to working with dynamic companies making bionic body parts, or being space engineers making equipment that one day will get flown to and land on Mars. We currently have 1,300 ambassadors. This year's the Ambassador Programme is 10 years old. We provide advice to 151 secondary schools in the west of Scotland, connecting them to a wide range of industry activities from many organisations. And our sister organisations in the east and north do the same thing. 94% of our schools in the west are using an ambassador. These past two terms, we've been out and visited 90 of those schools to discuss STEM ambassadors with the management teams and to help increase industry involvement. We plan to visit all of our 151 schools once per year. So if you're in the west of Scotland and you haven't had a visit yet, please do get in touch if you're interested, because we're very keen to come and see you. Science Connect's sister project, the Glasgow Science Festival, was founded in 2006 and delivers the Dumfries and Galloway Science Festival in May. That's together in partnership with the Association for Science Education Scotland. And it also delivers the actual Glasgow Science Festival in June and a series of year-round activities. Our main aim is to showcase the research undertaken in Scotland and facilitate access to those people involved. In 2012, the Glasgow Science Festival engaged with 40,000 people, and the majority of our events were free. The festival want to help build a community of Scottish science stars. We need more public names in science, and we have links with people who have amazing jobs and amazing stories to tell. They're brilliant communicators and can't contain their enthusiasm for their research. They're great role models for pupils, and about 60+% of those ambassadors are younger than 35 years old. So we're going to hear from a few of these audio case studies now from a range of organisations and what they can offer. We'll hear from teacher Sharon Toogood about her trip to the European Organisation for Nuclear Research, CERN, engaging with a bunch of particle physics ambassadors. This was actually covered in a great article in TEST this week. Then from Irene Lang of Construction Skills about construction ambassadors, from Mark Brownrigg about a South Lanarkshire project, from Claire Motion, a student from St Andrews, about a robotics project, and finally from Sandy Smith about a model molecule building activity that can lead to a breadth of links with the chemistry industry. So let's hear from Sharon.
There's a poster at the back of my room that's often commented on by the pupils. They'll come in and they'll look at it and they'll say, oh, is that the black hole machine, miss? Is that going to make the Big Bang again? And then I get into a discussion with them about how, no, it's none of those things, it's the LHC, and that's in CERN in Geneva. And then we'll get into a discussion about what it does, what it's hoping to do in the future, and why it's important in science these days. So, you know, all the pupils that I teach know what it is and, you know, what it's for. So when Rebecca Crawford got in contact with the school, as a rep for Science Connects, and told us that, along with some partners in industry, that they were running a competition to win a trip to CERN. My pupils were really eager to take part. I think Science Connects, you know, it's got an excellent role in bringing together industry and education. It's kind of like a dating agency, and it teams you up with an ambassador to link with your school, and it's great because they can offer things like a trip to CERN that you just wouldn't be able to offer your pupils without them having to, you know, put in some amount of money, which some pupils just don't have. But, you know, with the trip to CERN, it was something else. We did so much with the pupils. We went to the control rooms for CMS and Atlas. We built a cloud chamber. We went underground to CMS to the proton level. We got to see an old school accelerator. We went round Geneva. We had lectures. It was amazing. I think the things that the pupils probably enjoyed the best was the building the cloud chamber. That was fabulous, and the fact that the pupils got to see that that's something that's relatively easy to build, and then they got to actually see particle traces of the muons coming from space, and it was really, really hands-on. And for young people, that's kind of what they need, and something like Science Connects can offer equipment and things that we maybe don't have access to in the school, and anything that's hands-on and helps pupils learn, and Maya Books is a great tool. The pupils also loved going underground, and I love going underground as well. We went right down to eye level of the proton beam, and you know, you had your hard hat on, and the pupils, one of the pupils commented that, you know, I'm never going to be this far underground again in my entire life. Like, this is amazing. And it really, really was. You just got a real feel for it. For just how important this experiment was, and just how deep you were underground as well. Like, it kind of brought home to you just how massive the accelerators are. You know, it doesn't just cross two borders. You know, you think, oh yeah, that is pretty big, but when you're actually down there, you just it's you know, takes your breath away. The pupils also loved the trip around Geneva. The lectures and stuff that they put on were brilliant, and the kids, you could really see, were absorbing all the knowledge that we were being imparted with. But the trip around Geneva, I think, was a nice wee break for them, you know, away from the lectures, out in the sun, you know, getting to see the city as well. Excuse me. The thing I think that probably inspired the pupils most, though, was something that Science Connects does really well as well, but in CERN, it was just not once, not twice, but on numerous occasions, the pupils were told, you could do this, you could come here, and you could work here, this could be you. You know, I think sometimes young people see scientists and things on the TV and they think, oh, how clever and how smart, and you know, how long would you need to spend to get there to do that? But when they came to CERN, the PhD students came and had tea with us, and they were told on a regular basis, as I said, you know, this could be you. And when they were having conversations with the PhD students, you know, they were talking about science, you know, fair testing, but they also spoke about music and politics, and they got to see that these people were just normal, they were just like them, and in actual fact, you know, they were only a little bit older than them. So for them, getting to see someone who a few years ago was in their position and realise just how achievable it was to actually, you know, get your science degree, get into a PhD and come and work in a place like CERN. Not just as a PhD, they were told about technicians' jobs. they were really encouraged to, like, you know, aim high and go for it. And I think for my young people, certainly, being told that you can do something like this, and you could see it with them all, it's sort of clicking, you know, it inspired them. And as a teacher, I think that's all you want to do, is you want to inspire your pupils to do well and aim for the best. And the trip to CERN done that for the pupils. It helped them realise this could be me, and we could never have done that without Science Connects being involved. You know, we wouldn't have gotten, you know, into the control rooms and stuff like that. That's somewhere that the general public didn't get to go, and we got to go there, and it was, you know, it was inspiring, not just for the pupils, but for me as well. And it's something that I'll never forget, and it's certainly something I would imagine they're never ever going to forget.
Well, I think certainly I'd not forget Sharon's talking in a long time. They sound really excited. It sounds really exciting and a brilliant thing to do, to put pupils into that sort of situation where they're seeing real science, bringing real science into the classroom and then taking children away. It's a fantastic experience. Next up, we've got Irene Lang.
My name is Irene Lang, and I work as a construction careers advisor for Construction Skills. Construction Skills is the Sector Skills Council and the Industry Training Board, and we're largely funded by and represent the construction industry. There are 6 construction careers advisors throughout Scotland, and part of the job involves working with schools, mainly secondary schools, but we do have some input with primary schools. This is a flavour of what we can offer to schools. We run construction presentations in schools, usually lasting 1 or 2 periods, and these can be for pupils at all stages. So it might be S2 pupils considering their subject choices or potential school leavers from S4 to S6. The presentations are tailored to suit the specific needs of the group, and they can cover craft apprenticeships, design and management careers, or technician level careers, or sometimes all 3, depending on the makeup of the group. We can also work through the practice booklet for the skilled learning exercise, which is the aptitude test that those applying to construction skills for an apprenticeship are invited to sit. It's based around testing applicants' numeracy and their ability to interpret plans and drawings in order to gauge their suitability for a construction apprenticeship. We also have a number of construction simulations. These have been developed in conjunction with the construction companies that we work with. So we have Wimpey Building, Morrison City, Taylor Woodrow Tower, etc. The activities cover a variety of skills developed within the curriculum, such as team working, problem solving, working to deadlines, and links them to those used in the construction industry. The Taylor Woodrow exercise uses Lego to design and build a tower and allows pupils to demonstrate their ability to work as part of a team, to meet deadlines, to work under pressure, and to pay attention to detail. The object of the activity is to design and build a tower that will make maximum profit. And in order to do this, the pupils have to interpret data from written instructions and also simple graphs. They then submit a tender and build the tower again against the clock. This is where they're working under pressure and most of the fun of the exercise comes in. We occasionally offer construction activity days in conjunction with the National Construction College Scotland, which is based at in Shannon. We invite small groups from secondary schools to take part in a team building day. Well, the groups rotate around a number of short hands-on activities based on construction crafts. So they might get the opportunity to work with our lecturers, carrying out ceiling fixing, scaffolding, or even using a mini digger. Throughout the year, we run seminars for teachers, careers advisors, and other influencers of young people to ensure that they're kept well informed of the wide variety of opportunities available within construction and up to date with what's happening. They can be held at in Shannon or, where possible, as part of a site visit with one of our construction employers. We also run a construction ambassador programme and that allows us to bring construction companies who are keen to get involved with local schools into schools. Those that are interested come along to us for a two-day training course, and that prepares them for going into schools. It gives them an idea of what's currently happening within education. So we can offer them the chance to come in to talk about their own role. So if, for example, a school is particularly keen to hear from an architect or maybe from a quantity surveyor, then they can come along and talk about that. Or they might carry out one of the construction simulations that I've mentioned earlier. The course helps them to develop the presentation skills and also keeps them up to date with what's currently happening within schools. If you'd like further information, you can contact me by email on irene.lang@cskills.org. And if I'm the careers advisor for your area, I'll be happy to come along to your school. And if not, I'll pass on your information to an appropriate person. Thank you.
So that's another opportunity, folks, to get science into the classroom. And I think that's a theme that's going to run through the rest of this podcast. The next one's slightly different, I think, from Rebecca's introduction. We've got Sandy Smith, who is going to be talking about molecule kits, in particular bringing molecules into the community, I suppose. So have a listen.
My name is Sandy Smith, and I run activities under the name of Science at Quaben. One of our main activities is using MolyMod kits to build models of molecules. This helps people to understand how complex molecules can be built up from a few simple atoms. We deliver our workshops at schools, science clubs and festivals or gala days. We have a variety of molecule templates which range from simple molecules such as ethanol or acetic acid to complex molecules such as caffeine and quinine. Participants at the workshops are invited to select a molecule template of interest and then create their own model from the individual component atoms and bonds. The diversity of organic molecules allows us to work in collaboration with a wide range of industries, such as pharmaceutical, pigment, detergent, paper, explosives, food, and cosmetics providers. We have delivered workshops at various science festivals, such as Glasgow, Murray, Orkney and Caithness, as well as making visits to individual schools in these areas. The workshops can take the form of drop-in activities or scheduled sessions. The session workshops generally take around 45 minutes and are principally designed for primary 6 to S2 level. But we have also involved pupils from P4 to S4 and even made a short presentation to a group of P1 to P3 pupils in a small school in Orkney. As well as running interactive workshops, we have also organised molecule hunts in various locations within Scotland. This activity involves persuading about 12 to 16 businesses in a local area to agree to participate by displaying a model of a molecule in their premises. A molecule appropriate to the nature of the business is chosen for each location, such as caffeine for a cafe. A leaflet is produced which lists the businesses participating and has a map to indicate their location within the town. The leaflet also contains a picture and the name of each of the molecules and a few words to indicate how the molecule is used. This gives the participants a clue to what type of business might be involved. They then have to match the pictures in the leaflet with the molecules on display in the various locations. Then they complete the form to identify which location holds each molecule. The correct entries are then collected together, and the first few, drawn from the hat, are awarded a prize, usually a Molymod kit, so they can build their own molecules. So far, we've held molecule hunts in Kirkwall, Stromness, Dunbar and Oban. But we would be happy to hold them in other locations if people are interested. The activity proved very popular, and the feedback received from participants and businesses was generally very positive. We had quotes such as, "I found shops I didn't know existed." It gave us an opportunity to talk to all the shopkeepers, and we found it great fun. The molecule hunts provide a great opportunity for small businesses within a limited area to work collectively and engage with the public in a novel way. If you would like us to run one in your locality, then please get in touch. Anyone wishing more information on either the workshops or the molecule hunts, or an opportunity to collaborate, can contact me by email using science@quaben.org.uk. I can spell the Quaben to make it easier. Charlie, Whiskey, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, November. Thank you very much.
So, thank you to Sandy Smith of Quaben, talking about molecule kits. You maybe could get a giant molecule for your classroom. The last audio we've got tonight is from Claire Motions, who is coming from St Andrews University, talking about Lego Mindstorms and science and ambassadors, and it's an example of another opportunity that we've got in education to bring real science into the classroom.
Hi, I'm Claire Motion. I'm currently in the States at the moment, which I think maybe demonstrates the wonder of the internet and our ability to connect across continents and time zones in order to share a few good ideas. So exactly in this recording, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about some work I've been doing with the University of St Andrews while I was a student there. I've just recently graduated with physics from St Andrews. The work I was doing was with our admissions and access programme, working with schools in the local area to promote science, technology, engineering and maths type subjects. And this was done through the use of some Lego Mindstorms robots through our Lego Mindstorms loan box project. So this project involved our student ambassadors, who are students at the university in a range of fields across the sciences, the arts, who were passionate about sharing ideas in higher education and promoting what students in schools throughout Scotland could do if they decided to pursue sciences. And a lot of it was about motivating study in this area. And this was done through going out to schools and having fun with the kids and showing them what they could do with these ideas that wasn't just math in the classroom, that took it from their lessons into doing something quite practical, working in groups, and promoting big ideas and making them really think about what they wanted to do. So this project focused on engaging sort of upper primary and sort of lower secondary and STEM topics, so looking at construction, design, computer programming, and relating these to real-life ideas or jobs or future aspirations. You know, like, would you like to be a space engineer? And most of all, it was about having fun. So these sessions were run in classes in schools or with the Young Engineers Clubs, and focused on sort of showing the pupils how to construct and program the robot. We then left the kits with the schools for 2 to 6 weeks for further exploration, try out some other new things or continue this bit of fun they were having. All the sessions were run by university students, so there was no emphasis on the teachers having any prior knowledge in this sort of area. So it was very sort of technophobic, teacher friendly. A bit of a mouthful, but hopefully it covers what I'm trying to say. So the good thing about it was that you could go into a class where the teacher had relatively little or no experience in this area, and by the end of it, they could have a fantastic kit that they could try, and the kids were showing the teachers what to do, which was an excellent part of this project. And one of the big things we did do was when you take these sort of four kits out with two students on for an afternoon or an evening or a morning in the school, setting up and being able to work and engage 25, 30 kids in to do this was a bit of a challenge. But what we tried to do, we would take five kids, give them one kit, give each of them a role. You think your primary sixes or your S1s, getting them to cooperate and do something can be a bit of a challenge, but the kids all managed it and they loved doing it. The way we do this is we take them, right, between all amongst you, choose who's going to be the boss, who's going to be your team captain, who's going to build it, who's going to be your mechanic, who's going to be your quartermaster to find all those little bits of Lego, and who wants to get in and do some programming. What this allowed them to do was to reflect real-life goals or jobs that a NASA engineer might have in the construction of a Mars rover. So with Curiosity on the horizon, it's a very topical idea that's going about, and to get them really thinking about, well, maybe I could do this, was a big thing. And they really enjoyed doing it, and it always worked, believe me. Another thing, a good thing was about it was that it introduced the idea of innovation. So we were able to, you know, they would build the robot, program it, would give them put a little bit of track on the ground, they'd have to program it to go around this track using the commands which are built into the interface on the computer, which is also provided, just a small Samsung cheap netbook, worked perfectly. So we set them navigation challenges. The big thing about this was translating the where to robot into robot commands, making them think about how far one rotation forward is, how far a turn is, and then making them work together to test it out. Does it work? Okay, how can you improve that? So it really kind of got them engaged in designing it, testing it, and making sure that it worked overall. And then from this, the Lego Mindstorm kits, if you aren't familiar with them, the possibilities with them are endless. You can explore the senses. A lot of the kits come with sensors and touch, sound, colour, ultrasonic, if you want to measure distances. But there's also, if you want a bit more advanced stuff, there's programming, so you can get them ideas of looking into loop commands, wait commands, sequential control. So really, these kits are little gems because they allow them to explore so many different topics through one little kit. And the great thing we found is that all the schools we've taken it into, they've really enjoyed using them. They've got so much out of them, and the teachers have enjoyed being able to have a resource for a couple of weeks. So these have been used primarily in Fife. I understand that they're spreading all over. So please do bother your local university or ask them, have you got these kits? Can we borrow them? I know Drew Barrett's had a lot of fun using these, and I think the possibilities are endless. You just got to get out and give them a try. And if anyone's got any further questions, I'm very reachable on the internet. You can find me under Physics Claire. I'm not sure how much I might be able to do from this side of the Atlantic, but I can certainly put you in touch with some people. And if you have any questions, do feel free to get in touch. And thank you for listening.
Okay. So that was Claire Motion, or Physics Claire, telling us about how to get involved with Lego Mindstorms. And I don't know what you think, David. I thought every speaker there are indicating the sort of opportunities we've got to bring something quite powerful into the classroom and exploit these other folk.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely incredible, and not being a scientist myself, I'm certainly aware that links with industry and the universities go way back, and it just appears to me that with the new curriculum, these links are there to be exploited. But what I mean by that is that it's beneficial to folk on both sides in the real life context, but also taking young people out of their communities into to explore new areas of the world and indeed space. It's incredible, and to expose young people to new ideas as well as the latest ideas. And I know that within education we talk about education in society as having continual change, but I'm sometimes a bit dubious about that, but certainly when you're talking about the science industries, that's absolutely true. So I just like to say thank you to all our contributors tonight, and to Rebecca Crawford at Glasgow University for pulling it all together.
And I think what we can try and do is get some links put together when we put the audio out. It'll be out probably by Saturday, let's say. And if we can have some links up to the various people so that if you are interested in getting in touch to exploit these resources, or maybe if you're inspired by Sharon's trip to CERN. I can't actually believe that these kids have gone to CERN. It's just almost made me want to take up physics at this age. It's just great stuff. But we can put some links up and see if folk want to get involved. At best start a pointer in the right direction. So will we just call that a night, David?
Yes, absolutely. And we've got the October holidays coming up, and I'll be working hard to try and get some speakers lined up. We've got we have got several speakers lined up between now and Christmas, including I'm delighted to say Dylan William later on in December. So you can check out the Radio Edge Talk pages for full details of Dylan Williams' talk, which will be fascinating. So just a wee plea, though. I suppose what I'm getting at is that there's a few slots available. Wednesday slots. If anybody has something to share, if they want to talk about a paper that they've written or they've done something interesting in class, or they're working in some kind of collaborative project, anything at all that you would like to share with the wider education community using Radio EduTalk, then please just get in touch with myself via Twitter or email.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it. And Dylan Williams, I think we may have to up the bandwidth for that particular episode. That may get a lot of bums on seats. Okay, folks, so we'll just say good night.